Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You know, when I came here, one of the reasons was that I really believed in the skill and the talent on this team. But I define the talent a little bit differently, so that's going to be the focus on moving forward. I think character is the biggest part of talent. I think that the competitiveness, the relentless work ethic that you have, whether it's on the ice for practices or in the gym, that's the talent that we need to focus on. And there's been games this year where we looked like it was going to be easy and we lost because we got outworked. That's unacceptable. And that's going to be something that we're going to focus on every day here, each and every day, because the talent, the skill alone is not going to get you the wins in this league. Every team's too good. So you got to work, you got to compete, you got to be relentless. And that's what I want the identity of the Buffalo Sabres to be. And that's where we want to be proud of that type of identity moving forward, because we do have the skill and we do have the talent.
And with those words, the Jarmo Kekäläinen era is underway. As general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, welcome in. New week for us and obviously a new time, Marty, for this group that did win the final three games of their road trip as they get set to start under Kekäläinen on Thursday night.
And that's the thing, right? So I get there has been big news yesterday, the firing of Kevin Adams, who is the general manager, the hiring, not interim basis, just the full-out hiring of the 10th general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, Jarmo Kekäläinen. But we also have to look at the Sabres are on a three-game win streak. They started the road trip in a bad way, losing to Philly, Winnipeg, and Calgary. But they turned around and put together three wins. They're back to 500. They're 6 points away from, you know, playoff spot. Like, there's a lot of momentum going into a certain direction. And so, yes, this is a big news. But I am, like, my mind is already starting to think, okay, Thursday the Flyers, the Islanders on Saturday, the Devils Sunday, the Ottawa Senators next Tuesday. You have Christmas break. Like, there's a lot of really big steps to take forward in the standings and on the ice. And but obviously there was a massive step taken off the ice in the front office.
Well, what about the words specifically used in that opening statement by Kekäläinen and, you know, really how it affects everything moving forward, in that do you see and hear something different in what Jarmo said in his evaluation of talent and how it's character driven that can impact, presumably by his touches moving forward, what this team looks like?
So it is interesting because we are just getting to know Jarmo Kekäläinen the last 6 months or so. He got hired as an advisor and brought in some experience. But the 11 years that he served as a GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, I wasn't really paying attention at listening to every press conference and every soundbite of Jarmo Kekäläinen and dissecting every one of his moves. Now I look back and I say there were some really good moments in Columbus' 5 playoff appearance. I remember when they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning and swept them in 4. There was some really good moments. But there was a confidence and a little, I don't want to call it anger, but in the way that he talked, almost to say, like, I'm ready to go in and put the foot down and say, you know what, I don't like hearing after a game, well, we lost too many puck battles or we got outworked. And that is something that, like, if if I'm a player right now, I'm like, I'm never saying we got outworked, and I'm never putting ourselves in a position, because the tone as to what Jarmo talked about and talked about that, like the character. I evaluate talent with character one, not skating, shots, skills, size, whatever. Character is one. That to me would be a big message to everybody in the room.
Do you think that there's a way to, if that's his philosophy and vision, and we just saw a flurry of deals last week in the NHL.
Yes. Big deals.
Right. Do you suspect or do you feel like that's something that he wants to do based on how, you know, he evaluates talent?
I feel like he wants to see a change in the locker room first. Yeah. And I think that also comes off the heels of, like, Lindy Ruff coming in last year and everybody saying, we want accountability, we want accountability, and Lindy Ruff came in. Well, there was an adjustment period in Lindy Ruff evaluating the players, and we know that, you know, there was a time last year where Lindy was pointing the finger at Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins, and they're not in the middle of the ice. They're not getting the job done. They traded Dylan Cousins. And I feel like Jarmo is piggybacking off of that right now, almost saying, you know what, like, you guys all wanted accountability, but I'm not hearing it as much as I would want to, and I'm not seeing the character element of this team as much as I would want to, and I need to make that the number one thing right now, saying we are not going to go into any games coming out and saying, well, you know what, puck management, and we lost battles, and we got outworked, and is there going to be some games that some nights it's not going to go well? Yes, it's professional hockey, but that's not going to be the, hey, out of the last 10 games, five of them, we didn't play well because we didn't win the one-on-one battles, didn't manage the puck, or didn't do the thing. Like, that, to me, was a strong message sent by Jarmo right off the bat.
Of course, you mentioned the coach, and the GM was asked about the status of Lindy Ruff.
Lindy's resume speaks for itself. He's been a great coach in the league for a long time. I've really enjoyed my interaction with him day to day. He works his tail off every day. He's early. He's watching tape. He's analyzing. He's talking to the players. He's got a good line of communication with them, and he's looking for ways to get better. So, you know, I've really enjoyed my time so far with Lindy.
Jarmo did say that everyone in the organization is under evaluation. Mm-hmm. So you've lived this as a player, going through changes both in the coaching and GM ranks. I mean, these were obvious questions that were going to be asked today. What do you feel about where the team is at right now?
Well, where the team is at is it takes a step forward and takes a step back and takes two steps forward and take two steps back. So they're staying at the same starting, you know, block that, you know, you start the, you know, the game with, and now there needs to take some massive steps forward and continue that movement forward. Now, you know, it's funny because Jarmo is out, just said, look, I have tremendous respect for Lindy Ruff, and but there is a business, and the business is to win, and the business is to be able to put the organization and the team in the progression and into the goal of winning a Stanley Cup. So even though you respect and have enjoyed the interaction, you're still evaluating. Mm-hmm. You're still looking. Like, there has been GMs that have fired coach and rehired the same coach 3-4 years later because they respected them. But at the time, it was not the right thing. It needed a change. So do I think that that's the number one priority on Jarmo Kekalainen's, like, desk right now, coaching staff and organization? No, I don't think it is. I think the number one priority is how do we win games, and the roster, and Alex Tuch's contract, and the three goalies, and a lot of things. But that is definitely going to be something that he'll continue to evaluate to see how can we get better in every aspect of the organization.
What do you think? I mean, very hard question to answer, but can you put yourself in Lindy's shoes at the moment and what that feels like when you have a change above you in season?
Well, I mean, it's weird because this is a change that of a person that was in the organization for 6 months that you've traveled with, you've had meetings with, you've sat in camp, looked at video with. So you know, often when a GM gets let go and a new GM comes in, it's somebody that will come in from the outside. And so you may not have had that interaction. So the next 2-3 weeks, you're like having a lot of conversation. These conversations have happened already. These evaluations have happened already. Will there be a little bit more of that one-on-one in communication because he's the GM now? It's not going to be Lindy and Kevin and then Yarmo off to the side. No, it's going to be more one-on-one. But I think for Lindy Ruff, it doesn't change. He's been around a long time. This is year two of a two-year deal, and he knows that, you know what, he's got to go out there and win games. And that is going to dictate what's going to happen with him, with his staff, with everybody. Got to go out there and win games. So why was the last three games so important to him and his staff? Because they were able to win them and get back to 500.
Jarmo Kekäläinen in as new general manager of the Sabres. He addressed the media here at KeyBank Center this morning. Buffalo is home to Philadelphia on Thursday after winning the final three games of their road trip. And, of course, from a standings standpoint, it is still incredibly tight in the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
All you needed to do last night was be reminded in watching Florida kind of have their way to a certain extent with Tampa. They certainly
did.
I mean, that's just who they are now. The Panthers are not in a playoff spot. They are 3 points out of first in the division with a game in hand. That's how tight it is. And guess what? Buffalo's 7 points out of first in the division with a game in hand. So there is opportunity here.
So Buffalo is 3 points behind Florida right now, I believe. So I think Florida is going to make the playoffs. I think Florida
They're 4 behind Florida.
So you're thinking you're 4 points behind the Florida Panthers. And I think Florida is a playoff team. So, I mean, yes. I said last year when I was looking at the New York Rangers, you got to stay within reach of the New York Rangers. They'll get in. The Rangers didn't make it last year, but Florida's making it this year. So keep yourself in that same pace, and you're going to get yourself in the top eight. It's going to happen.
And second leading scorer on the team points-wise is Alex Tuck, who you just mentioned, and obviously he was going to be a major question towards Jarmo this morning.
I'll take charge of that situation now. I'll talk to his representatives. It always takes two parties to agree on a number that both feel that it's reasonable, and not just for today, but moving forward, what you have to build with your team. Alex is a really good hockey player. We appreciate him. We like him. We want to get him signed. I think that's been clear the whole time. Now we just have to agree on a number that works for both sides.
What has changed in your mind for Alex Tuck with this news over the last 24 hours and with his season to date?
So the one thing I do know about Jarmo Kekäläinen is that even though he's not the flashiest and the, you know, Brian Burke type like guy, he has had some aggressive moves when it comes to general manager. You just go back to the year where Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky were both going to become UFA, and he didn't move them at the deadline, and it was a playoff push and trying to get in, and well, at the end of the day, that didn't work, and both Panarin and Bobrovsky moved on, but he was aggressive. I think the message here with Alex Tuck is he's going to be aggressive. Let's see where the Sabres are at by the trade deadline, but he will be aggressive, number one, trying to sign him, and number two, if that doesn't work, if the Sabres are in a playoff spot, it may be our own rental trying to keep this going. This is not a guarantee. By the time we get to the deadline, if Alex Tuck isn't signed, he will be traded. I'm not putting that on the radar. I'm saying Alex Tuck is a Sabre, with or without a contract. We'll see where it goes, but I'm not even considering a trade of Alex Tuck if the Sabres find themselves in or around a playoff spot, because the history tells you that Jarmo will be aggressive trying to get in with the roster that he has.
But how do you think this change in leadership has affected the Tuck outlook?
Well, obviously, you know, Tage Thompson got his deal, and Rasmus Dahlin got his deal, and Owen Power got his deal, and you can go down the line, right? Everybody got, most of the guys, like Dylan Cousins had his deal before that. So if you're Alex Tuck, you're saying, okay, I want to be a part of this. And I do believe that when Alex Tuck was traded to the Buffalo Sabres from the Vegas Golden Knights, there was a change, a really positive change and practice habits and pace and the way that they played. Now, it's a settled back in a little bit, and I would like to see Alex take that same mentality as when he first got here. You know, and a big thing is, again, that compete factor. It's not just competing in games. It's competing in practice and putting the work. And I would like to see that. But you want to impress your GM. You want to get that big contract. I think there's a real opportunity for Alex to see it that way.
But the market has changed. It's almost
the market has changed like so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, like I respect your point about the other guys getting deals, but it literally feels like a decade ago for those guys because 100%. Of how the landscape has changed. So the obvious
Tage Thompson at $7 million, that wouldn't even be a question right now
right.
when you look at Tage.
But a more logical question is Adrian Kempe's deal in mm-hmm. LA, and they have the exact same point totals. Again, they are very similar through their careers. The Kings are in a interesting position in that they're kind of the same as they're similar to what they were last year. But that similarity is causing anxiety for people that watch them right now because they can't score.
No.
And you're left with, okay, well, what's going to be different with the LA Kings this year? And right now, on December 16th, they're, again, 4 points out of first. They're 2 points out of missing the play altogether.
They're
in the same spot. So there's a lot of comparables here in this Tuck world, even if there aren't as many guys that have the exact contract negotiations ahead of them, meaning a bunch of free agents have come off the board, and the pool is smaller now for Tuck.
The pool is much smaller.
Yeah.
Now, funny, because this morning I'm driving around, doing some errands and whatnot, and I'm listening to Paul Hamilton talking to Jeremy White on the morning show. And Paul was basically saying, now you got to sign Tuck. You got to sign Tuck. He's, from here, this, that, the other thing. Syracuse, and my first thought was, everybody loves Alex Tuck. The fans all love Alex Tuck. Mm-hmm. The people, he's got his foundation. Do you like him at 10.5 for long term? Do you like him at 11? Do you like him at 9? Do you like him at 8? Like, where do you put your gauge as to, well, at this number, I'm not sure that I like him as much as I do at that number. And I think that's what Yarmo needs to figure out right now for him and the organization. Do we like Alex Tuck at 9.5?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way the market is going, I love Alex Tuck at 9.5. Do I like Alex Tuck at 10.5? 11? I mean, that's a different conversation here. I think that's where you have to be able to evaluate what that means for the team. I can tell you right now, I'd take Alex Tuck for the next 8 years at 9, 9.5. And then the 10, it's a big number. When you get over that threshold of now $10 million a year, mm-hmm. Not that Alex is old, but he's, that contract, that long-term deal could take him well into his mid to late 30s.
And Tuck, like the general manager and hopefully every player, is focused on the Sabres getting back to the playoffs, of which, Yarmo is adamant that this is a real thing, that it can happen this year.
Yeah, I think we're close. I think it takes a little bit of growth from the young players. Experience is always good. I always say from the draft that it could take 5 to 8 years before those players can make an impact in the NHL. Because, you see now that it can be even a little bit more of a young player's game. But it's all individual. Every individual has to develop at their own rate and own pace. You can have the fast forward button even if you'd like to sometime. You need to just let them take their time to get comfortable, confident in this league, and they can then make an impact. But I think there are a lot of good pieces here. I think we're very close. I firmly believe we can make the playoffs this year. There's a lot of hockey left.
There is a lot of hockey left, and that's the point. And I think that's mm-hmm. And it's understandable. Everybody has the right to, be skeptical based on where they are technically in the standings right now. But that's why we reiterated the point of how close it is within the division. Here's the thing.
Well, like, you're not making the playoffs playing 500 hockey. That's never going to happen anymore.
No, but I think the real question is how much over 500 do you have to be to make it in the Atlantic? Because it's a wash. If you're talking seven points top to bottom right now between eight teams with over 50 games left, that's basically nothing.
Is 91 gets you in?
Well, Sure. I mean, it could.
It has to be over 90, I would think. But is 92 the threshold in the Atlantic?
I think my point is I'm looking at the division. Tampa just, it's almost a miracle that they're in first. Jonas Johansson's played seven straight games. They have nobody on their blue line. Mm-hmm. They've had, and Hagel took another headshot from Jones last night. Like, this whole thing is out of control. But the point is as much as I love Tampa, I don't necessarily believe they're going to keep it all together this year. In ways they have before.
Montreal, Detroit, Boston.
5-1-2 in the last eight, so they keep picking up points. Boston, interesting, hard to gauge. Maple Leafs, Joe Wall comes back tonight.
Mm-hmm. They still don't have Montreal. Tanev Matthews isn't looking the same.
Montreal, Ottawa, miracle victory last night. Like, didn't look like they were going to beat Hellebuck. They scored late. They won it in overtime. I don't think anybody speaks with a great degree of certainty on every team in that division, other than the default is
the Florida.
Florida's going to make it.
Florida's going to make it.
And they're not in right now. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I.
It goes back to my rant from a week ago, the Marty Rantanen, about the playoff spots and the fact that you have eight spots for 16 teams in each conference. I don't believe that anymore because I say, you look at the Atlantic, you have three spots for eight teams. That's really what it is.
Yeah, but they're only the wild card is now within reach because it's
it is.
So they have five spots to get.
There's now, but any day could be. Oh, you go from one day you think there's only three spots for eight teams to the next day there's five, and then all of a sudden you're like, we should be one of the five now. So it changes all the time. There's nobody in the Atlantic Division that could say they've had it all put together this year, and at any moment. 1 week, 2 weeks could really flip it on its head, and the bottom could be the top can be the bottom. Montreal is relying on Jacob Fowler as a goalie who is going to start tonight. You mentioned Joe Wall coming back for the Leafs. The Boston Bruins just lost, the other night, so it's going to change. But the message here is still the same. Like Yarmo says, we can make the playoffs. 100% you can make the playoffs. And maybe that is why the move was made, right? And look, the Sabres went into this summer saying, and it was part of Kevin Adams' approach too, let's bring an experienced person to the staff to be able to. So they looked around, they did interviews, they talked to a lot of people. They really like Jarmo Kekalainen. So you have 6 months with Jarmo and Kevin, and you're kind of having this internal discussion and the staff meetings and everything. And you're looking around, you're like, we could get into playoffs. But right now, the vibes are not where they need to be. And maybe we need to change something. And being a GM for 5.5 years, almost 6 years, that's a long time. Like, the Sabres have had 10 GMs now in over 50 years. That averages to five. And we know that some of them have lasted a long way. So after 5-6 years... sometimes it's time to change things up, and Jarmo was a candidate that they really believed could and will change things around.
And one thing that can change when looking at the roster is how it's divided among forwards, defense, and goaltenders. And we've talked about three goalies on the roster all year long. Jarmo addressed that today.
I think we've all talked about it pretty much every day. That it's not the ideal situation to have three for the workload they get in practice, for the rotation and the amount of games they get if there's three goalies. But we also picked up Ellis for a reason because we felt that there was upside there to become a real good NHL goalie. And we had a little bit of an injury situation back then that we needed to protect ourselves depth-wise. So now we're probably to a point where we're going to have to start making decisions to get down to a two-goalie rotation. That's good for the two goalies that remain here, but we're going to look at the situation, and right now Ellis is hurt, so we got two goalies here and two goalies ready to win games.
When Ellis is healthy, how quickly do you think this changes?
I think it changes really quickly. And I think that, again, it goes through not being afraid. Yarmo's attitude over the last few years is not being afraid of, you know what, if we make the decision and there's an injury after that, we'll deal with it after that. You can't go in backwards into a situation. But we know that having three goalies is not working. And it hasn't for the last few years because we've had three goalies for the majority of the last three seasons in and on the roster. Levi, UPL, Craig Anderson, Dustin Tokarski, Alex Lyon, Colton Ellis. It's been like, oh, the guy that has been the most consistent from the start to the season to now, other than one little dip, but it's a dip where he barely played, has mm-hmm. been Alex Lyon. Mm-hmm. And we saw that, like, now he's played in three straight, only really getting one start out of the three because he didn't start in Calgary, played the third period, didn't start in Edmonton, got that, then it was Vancouver and Seattle. But there has been a consistent presence by Alex Lyon and steady performances. So I like that. And if I want to say I'm going to make the playoffs, I like what Alex Lyon has done. Now, would you be getting a lot of calls on Alex Lyon? 100%. That's probably the number one thing people call. A guy that's making $1.5 million for this year and next year that has the experience and is playing well. So if teams are calling for a guy right now, they probably would be calling on Alex Lyon. But to me, that's the guy that has been giving you your best consistent playing. So, yeah, I think Alex Lyon is one. Now comes the hard decision. What do? You picked up Colton Ellis off waivers. Mm-hmm. And if he's healthy, is it, let's put him back on waivers, let's trade him? Is it Luukkonen that you start looking at and saying, well, what can we get in that? But I really believe that that situation will be remedied really, really, really quickly after Colton Ellis is healthy.
Well, it's part of the reason Yarmo's here, certainly, is to be willing to make tough decisions.
One of my life's philosophies is that don't be afraid to make a mistake. And that's something that I always relate to the players too. We got to play free. We got to play without fear of failure. I apply that to myself in work too. Whatever it takes to make our team better, we're going to do. We're not going to be afraid of making a mistake. And from my time with the Blue Jackets, I can tell you one thing, that it's great to make the playoffs, but we're not just here to make the playoffs. We're here to try to build a championship team. You make the playoffs, you're happy for 8 to 14 days if you lose in the first round. If you win the first round like we did there once, then you're happy for 14 to 20 to 28 days, and then you're miserable. And I think that even if you get to the final but lose, that would be the most disappointing thing ever, for me, at least personally. Winning the Cup's the goal. I think every team in this league is here for the same goal. And that's the goal that we have with the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, you got to make the playoffs first to be able to even compete for that. But I can assure you that we made the playoffs five times in the 10 full seasons that I was there. The most miserable I was during the year was the game that eliminated us from the playoffs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm thinking of a new podcast where Yarmo and I share misery. We rank it
on a
scale of 1 to 10, like, oh, no, I got you beat here. This is way more miserable.
The saddest day is when you go to a concert and, the concert is over and you're like, oh, man, that was so good. But now the concert is over. I'll tell you this. He is competitive. And there's, for those that don't know Yarmo Kekalainen, like, he played in the league. Like, he was a player. Mm-hmm. Like, people think he just came out of Finland to be a GM in the National Hockey League. No, he came from Finland to play college hockey, mm-hmm. to be in the NHL. Like, this is a guy that has really put some goals in front of him mm-hmm. and said, I am going, at a time where not a lot of players came from Finland to go play college hockey in the U.S. Like, that wasn't very regular. And he just knocked doors down, and he's competitive. And I like that. I say the night after you lose in the playoffs is usually one of the hardest night to go to sleep and then get some sleep. It's not easy, and I shared that and that competitiveness that he's talking about.
His first game as general manager will be Thursday night when the Flyers are here, and if you're looking for a great way to offer upscale entertaining to clients or colleagues, we may have an answer for you. We're introducing the new First Class Pass for groups of 10 or more, featuring Sabre game tickets plus private club access in the 1970 Club, all-inclusive gourmet, dining, and parking passes are included. So visit sabres.com/pass to learn more today. More on Yarmo's introductory press conference next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Winning hockey games is the most important ingredient there. Everybody wants to play for a winner. You got to win hockey games. And then in the background, we can be very detail-oriented in making sure that we do everything that we can. Terry and I had a lot of conversations about this over the weekend. He's going to give us every resource so that we can eliminate all the excuses out there to make it such a great place for the players that they want to come here. But winning is the first ingredient that you have to have. So that's one thing we're going to need to focus on. But Terry's given me full autonomy to run the hockey department. We can spend to the cap. We have every resource available for us that we need to make this team better, make it more attractive for the guys to stay or attract free agents. So that's all I can ask for as a general manager.
Welcome back. Continuing on Sabres Live, as Jarmo Kekalainen had his first press conference with the media today as general manager of this team. Marty, it pains me to say that you're not a modern-day player, as you have been retired for quite some time, but you did see an evolution.
I'm not offended by it.
Yeah, I know, but I wish you were still playing. It would be more
There's
fun.
There's no Philip Rivers in me, I can tell you
no?
that. There's no coming back.
Well, but you did see over the course of your years as a player how organizations can look after the little details mm-hmm. and try to make things more comfortable for players, their families, their kids.
Yes.
Making this feel like home. Those are the things that organizations have been trying to do because, yes, everyone is trying to win, but not everyone will win. So while Kekalainen rightly points out that winning is what will bring people here and keep people here and build ultimately what they want, it's the other things that you can do to show that you're committed to players when they do come here. So how has that changed for you and just, you know, your personal experiences, but how you've seen teams change?
Well, my personal experience is that, I mean, some guys take whatever they can. Like when I signed with the New York Islanders, that was the only offer really I had. So right. I'm like, I'm going there. But there was other times, and when I got traded to the Flyers, or even when I picked the New York Rangers, I had different options. And I went to New York with the Rangers. Why? Because, well, they had Henrik Lundqvist, and they were a great organization that was winning mm-hmm. and was going to be in the playoffs, and I was going to have a chance to win the Cup. That's why. Yeah, it's fun. It's the great city. It's the Big Apple. But at the end of the day, I want to win. And that's what makes a big difference. And I know we've had a lot of different kind of conversation over how do you attract free agents and players into Buffalo. Well, 3 years ago, when the Sabres were 1 point away from making the playoffs, the conversation was free agents want to come to Buffalo. There's Tage Thompson. There's Rasmus Dahlin. There's Alex Tuck. There's a lot of great things happening in that organization. They're scoring a ton of goals. They're fun to watch. The building is going crazy. Well, the reason why that didn't keep up, it's not because all of a sudden we got more blizzard and we got more this or that. No, it's because they went from 91 points to 84 to 79. Mm-hmm. And so teams are like, players are like, oh, like that team was right there, getting ready to be a winner, creating a buzz, and it went the other way. That's why Yarmo's talking about players want to play for a winner. Like, Quinn Hughes getting traded to Minnesota is not getting traded to a destination or down south. But he sees what Bill Guerin's doing. He sees what the Minnesota Wild are doing. They're the third best team in the NHL since November 1st. And really, at this moment, the third best team in the NHL behind Colorado and Dallas. And that could be, like, debated right now because of their roster. So, yeah, Minnesota's taking a shot. And why would Quinn Hughes or anybody want to be in Minnesota? It's because they're winning. Why would anybody want to come here to Buffalo? Is because if the team wins and if the team gets in the playoffs and if the team has success, players want to follow success. That's the only thing. I am sick and tired. People talk about it. The taxes, this, that, the other thing. No, it's all about winning and success in the end.
Do you think the comments by Yarmo as it pertained to spending changed anybody's view based on the fact that we've been staring at 3 year out cap projections now because of what the NHL and NHLPA have been able to agree upon? And I'm sure some were worried that as the cap goes up and up and up, that the Sabres might not be able to or want to keep spending at the same level as other teams. Do you think those comments from Kekalainen might have changed people's opinions?
Well, what it tells me is that there's not going to be any restriction, but you got to be smart about it, right? You can't just, like, the New York Rangers were spending almost $90 million and at a time where most teams were spending 25, right, before the lockout, before the cap. It didn't make the New York Rangers a good team. So spending is not just a way to get success. It's you got to do it smart. But at the same time, we had Darren Dreger on last week, you know, and he was just back from the Board of Governor meeting where he said the talk was really that a lot of teams are not going to spend to the cap, that they're going to have internal restrictions and, you know, depending on their revenues. So that conversation with Darren last week and now listening to Yarmo talk about there's no restriction, spending to the cap, I think that should make fans feel like, yay, okay. But at the same time, if the team is $7 million or $6 million under the cap, it's not because they don't want to spend it. It's because, well, that's the maybe the smarter approach. And but the restriction is not there. And it really was never there. I think that that was a misconception around the NHL. It was just a way to maybe build your roster from where you were in the rebuild to now. But when you look at the salary cap now, the Sabres are, you know, right at it. So there's no restriction now, and there won't be moving forward.
Yarmo Kekalainen also discussed just the structure of the hockey department.
As I said, we're going to evaluate the staff and see what kind of structure works for us. I like the way it is set up now. I'll work with Pete Guelli he's in charge of the business side. I'm in charge of the hockey side. I think we have some experienced people on the staff. If we need more experience, we're going to bring it in. Terry, obviously, he owns the team, so he can ask me questions, but he's given me 100% assurance that I'll run the hockey team, I'll hockey department, I'll make the decisions, but he owns the team. So, you know, if he wants to ask questions, I will be answering the questions and do my best to keep him always up to date on what's going on.
Do you foresee any change structurally?
Well, that is the one thing that, you know, I'd have to do a lot more homework into how Yarmo Kekalainen's structure was when it comes to analytics department and scouting department and player development department. And I don't anticipate in season right now to see a lot of changes in that. Will there be changes in the summertime? Potentially, when he's putting the you know, everything together. But the work's already been, like, in progress right now. Your scouts are out there. Your player development are going to visit the prospects wherever they are. So you let that continue. You get the reports, and then you start evaluating where do we need to put more resource in, and where do we need to maybe not put as much, or do we need to add more to the department as well? Maybe it's not so much change in, you know, letting go some and we're replacing them. And no, maybe it's just adding to build that. And so that will be one that maybe will fly under the radar. Everybody's looking at coaching staff, at players, at all of that. The structure of the organization may fly under the radar a little bit. But the one thing that I forgot to say earlier, Duffer, and you know, we've talked about prospects over the last few years, the Roseanne and the Oslin and the Kulik and the Hellenius and all of that. When a new GM comes in, usually there's always I don't want to call it a detachment, but, you know, when you're a GM and a staff that draft those players, mm-hmm. spend time, years developing them, there's always an attachment to them moving forward. I can say now that Yarmo's coming in, and doesn't matter if they drafted, Isaac Roseanne or Noah Oslin. It's what can you do for our organization, and how can you be a valued member of this organization? Is Roseanne and Oslin shown that they're valued members? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that changes for other players and other prospects down the road. We don't know, but I think there's a reset in that part as well.
Right, and every day, obviously, is an evaluation day of, I think, every position that we're talking about.
As I said, I have a pretty good head start with being here for 7 months and being very closely with the team for the basically the whole fall. So I have some things in mind that might happen sooner rather than later, and then there's going to be some things that we need to evaluate a little bit longer, and we're going to take all the time we need to make those decisions.
Taking the time, that's what he's saying. Take all the time you need. Winning is number one. And then after that, it will be potentially looking down at Rochester, looking down at your development, at your scouts, at your draft. How do you make this team better? And Yarmo said it takes sometimes 5 to 8 years from the draft to a player having an impact in the NHL. And you're drafting a guy at 18. Most players don't have an impact in the NHL until they're 24, 25. Some are earlier, obviously. But that's, 7 years, 6, 7 years later. So most GMs don't see the full product of the players they draft. But for Yarmo, this is another part of the evaluation when it comes to that.
Well, we'll take a quick break, come back with more on what was a busy day here at KeyBank Center with Jarmo Kekalainen's first presser as general manager. Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity event is, of course, presented by New Era Cap Foundation, and it is fast approaching, too. January 16th at Babeville, a fun fashion-forward event featuring a great lineup of appearances from Ryan's 0506 teammates, a live set from the Strictly Hip, open bar, and more. Visit sabres.com/catwalk for your tickets today. Back after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, I told the players to forget about the 14-year thing that kind of hanging out like a cloud, black cloud around the team, and I'm going to do the same thing. We're not going to sacrifice the ultimate goal for the sake of making.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
In the playoffs and then not having any sustainability for our goal and as a team to take the next step and having the opportunity and chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. So no, we're not going to do that. And so we're gonna have a plan, and the plan is going to be to win the Stanley Cup, and we're not going to take any shortcuts to try to just make the playoffs to end the drought. And you've seen around the league too, there were teams that made the playoffs, I don't know how many years in a row. I'm not going to start naming them. You know who I'm talking about. And then it's going to take a long time when when you realize, and I realized in my previous job, that the core that we had left after we lost a few players was we weren't going to have a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup, then you have to go through a rebuild. And it takes a long time. It takes a lot longer than anybody wants it to take. And, you know, we're way past that now. We have some really good core pieces here. We're close. Now we just have to take the next step.
That next step starts on Thursday with Philadelphia coming in, a team that has picked up a lot of points over their, really, the last 20 games. They've lost three in a row, but all beyond regulation time. But
I have a question
today,
for you.
Yeah.
So Yarmo gets announced as the GM of the Buffalo Sabres. There's 31 other GMs around the NHL. I'm sure they're happy because Yarmo was a general manager. They got to know him. He's been to GM's meeting. He's a good guy. Very, very nice and respectful guy. But I would think that the other 31 GMs are like, oh, this is a guy with a lot of experience that has seen a lot of things. And they might not be as happy that he's getting a job in the NHL because now they're going to have to deal with him if they want to deal with the Sabres. Like I could see that being the conversation around the NHL. Is, oh, crap, Yarmo got a job. Like, you know, we're going to have to deal with him if we want to make a trade or at the draft or like, which would be a positive, right? Knowing that that would be the feeling around the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to answer that question, but I do think
we'd have to pull all 31.
I think
GMs.
He's incredibly respected, and yes. I think it goes back to the start of the show and the start of his presser, and that character is the talent that he looks for most. And I not to not end it on a Sabres note here, but Yarmo spent a lot of formative years in St. Louis.
Yeah,
and it was something seeing our friend Kelly Chase in St. Louis last night on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. There's a pretty amazing article on The Athletic. If the new GM is talking about character being the talent, you won't find anyone who has more of it than Kelly Chase. And I just encourage you to read The Athletic and see what he's up against still and what he has meant in that town. And
but he's always doing it like he's tough as nails and always has been tough as nail in character. Yeah. But he does it with a big smile on his face. He was just telling a story on his pod about how he had to go get Brett Hull out of the bars in Montreal past curfew. And he got Brett Hull out of the bars past curfew, something that not a lot of players were able to do. So,
well, staying with St. Louis, happy birthday to assistant coach there and great friend Mike Weber.
Webby.
He's 38 today. And a happy belated to our great friend Chris Baker from Sabres Prospects.
Ooh.
He had a big birthday.
Also 38.
Yesterday, yes. And we send him the best as well. Thanks for being a part of today. Lots more tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.